Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see you at the midweek service tonight. We thank you sincerely for your presence. We're turning to the hymn 371 as we commence the meeting. 371, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. 371, we're standing to sing, please. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My precious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I will love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say, when the death tune lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
We'll just bow together in prayer. Lift our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to thee in prayer, we draw nigh to the throne of heavenly grace, glad of the opportunity to be in thy house, thankful for this time of midweek fellowship together. We come, Father, to ask that you'll still and settle our hearts before thee. We pray for the settling of our minds as well. We acknowledge, Father, the busyness of this day and all the things that we've been engaged in, concentrating on, had to deal with. And we're thankful for the opportunity just to come aside into your house tonight. We pray that we will be still and know that thou art God. Pray for that stillness on the gathering from the very beginning. Pray for that stillness in our own hearts and minds.
We come, Father, just to give the meeting over to thyself. We pray that you'll come and take charge of our meeting, take control, come and guide us tonight. We ask thee to lead us through this service. We want to thank you, Father, for leading our footsteps to the house of God, to the prayer meeting of the church. We want to thank you just for an interest and a burden to be here at such a meeting. We pray, Father, that we would never lose that burden for the prayer meeting and the place of prayer. We would ask that it might even increase and deepen in our own hearts and lives. We ask thee to bless our coming together tonight. Make this a blessed time. May all our hearts and souls be refreshed. Pray that all that are gathered tonight will know the blessing of the Lord, both in our study of your word and in our time gathered together as we seek thee in prayer. We want to ask, Father, that you might guide others to the prayer meeting too. We pray that you'll put that interest, that desire upon the hearts of others, Father, in the church and in the congregation. We want to see our prayer meetings increase. We want to see a greater number, a greater burden of prayer upon your people. We want, Father, to see the meeting increase as well with a greater spirit of prayer upon the gatherings. Oh Lord, we need thee to come by your breath, the breath of your spirit. We need thee to breathe through these meetings. We need thee, Father, to come and send revival to us. Thank you for the words that we've sung together. We're glad, Lord, that we can say tonight, my Jesus, I love thee, and I know thou art mine. And Lord, we recognize, we confess freely, we can only say that by your grace and mercy in our lives. We thank you, Father, for giving to us what we didn't deserve, for giving to us your salvation, the forgiveness of all of our sins. We recognize tonight, Father, that we love him because he first loved me. And Lord, we want to praise thee for ever setting your love upon us. We thank you for that love that has been put upon us even from all eternity, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Lord, we marvel tonight at the greatness of your grace towards us, and we pray just for grace that we might love thee more. Even tonight, Father, in this meeting, we would plead that you will deepen our love for Christ. May that love not wane, may it not never weaken. O God, save us from losing our first love for Christ. Give to us even a greater love for the Saviour and for the things of God than we've ever had, ever known before. Lord, bless every family represented in this meeting tonight. Encourage the hearts of your people, Lord, in these challenging days in which we're found. Our prayer would be, lead us on as a church. Own and use the witness of this congregation, Lord, in this very needy city. We think of so much religion. This city is the focus of religion. Oh God, we want it to be the focus of a move of God. We want, Father, to be known abroad that the Lord has visited his people here in this congregation, in this city of Armagh. So answer our prayers, Father. We give the way to thee now, asking that you'll come and lead us through this meeting from beginning to end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of Romans tonight. We're going to read some verses. It's Romans chapter 9. Romans 9. We'll begin to read the first verse. And let's hear the word of the Lord at our hearts tonight. The chapter begins with a very solemn statement from the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, your Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared on the glory? Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was saith unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth, not the Lord of Sabbath. Remember, Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts. Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works, or by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offence, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Lord will add his blessing this evening to this public reading of his word. Romans 9 verse 13 is our text tonight. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You have noticed in the reading mention made of the family background, the family tree. It tells us about Abraham and Sarah, and then it tells us about Isaac and Rebekah, the parents of the twins and the grandparents. It's especially the part of the verse, but Esau have I hated. I want us to consider for a few moments tonight. God hating Esau, what does that actually mean? It's a question that's often asked. Maybe you've been asked it, maybe you've asked it yourself. It is one of the difficult questions of Scripture. And that's what I want us to ponder for a few minutes tonight. The study will be maybe a little different than usual Wednesday nights, usual midweek services. There's a few verses I would like you to turn to in the course of the study and look at those verses for yourself. Can remind you at the outset, as you think of the words, when it says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Can I remind you that God is love? We emphasised that in the gospel meeting on the Sabbath night past. It's not that God loves. It is much more than that. God is love. God's character, by his very character, God is a love. So the question is, how can God hate? Can I remind you that to hate is a sin? It's good for us as the Lord's people to remember that. Hatred is a sin. So if hatred is a sin, whatever this verse means, whatever it is saying and teaching us, it cannot be true of God in that sense. It cannot be positive, sinful hate that has been spoken about. The idea, if I could summarise it for you, just in a sentence, and I'll develop that for you just in the Bible study tonight, but the idea of the verse is that he loves less. God loves Esau less than Jacob. We sometimes love people less. We don't love everybody the same. There's some people that you love more than others. And that's really the idea that is being set forth here. Well, the opposite is that God loved Jacob more. He loved Jacob more than Esau. He loved Jacob much more. Because remember, as the passage is setting out, Jacob was included in God's decree of election. He was one of the elect. So God loved Jacob savingly. He loved him much more than Esau. Hate in the context of the verse here, and it is not just in this verse, I will show to you that it is the consistent teaching of the Word of God, but hate, as it is stated here in this verse, means to love someone less. So I want you to fix that in your mind. It's not referring to actual sinful hatred as we normally would use the word. It means to love someone less. That was something that was common among the Jews, to compare their love for different people in this way. The person or the loved one, the one that was loved less by the Jewish people, that was described by them as hate. It is what is called, or what can be described as, a Hebrew idiom, a Hebrew figure of speech. And it's good to keep that in mind. You need to remember that some of the statements in the Bible are not English, not British, not Western idioms, figures of speech. They are Eastern, in most cases, Jewish or Hebrew idioms. And you need to be familiar with that, and you need to be familiar with those figures of speech. And if you are, it will help you as far as more clearly understanding the scriptures, more clearly understanding the meaning of the Word of God, and especially statements such as this. So there's a few verses, just for a moment or two, that I want you to turn to by way of example, to help just to show that that is the meaning, that is the teaching of the Word of God. If you come right back to the book of Genesis, to begin with, Genesis chapter 29, the 29th chapter of Genesis. And look there at the words of the 30th verse. So it's Genesis 29, the verse 30. It's telling us about Jacob and his wives. It's telling us here about Jacob, especially, and Rachel and Leah. So Genesis 29, verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. So I want you to see those words. Remember what we're saying when it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The meaning is that he loved Jacob more than Esau. So notice that it says here about Jacob that he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And if you read on into the next verse, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. So remember, put the two verses together. He loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And verse 31 says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So the hatred there is the same as mentioned in Romans chapter 9. The idea is, as the previous verse, the verse 30, makes clear, it means that Jacob loved, and we all know that to be the case from our understanding, our knowledge of the details of the story. Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And if you look at verse 33, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. So it's not true, it's not the case that Jacob hated Leah in the sense that we generally understand it. And I don't want you ever to think that when you read those verses, that he was married to a woman that he outright detested, he had a hatred for. That's not the meaning of the passage. But remember the words of verse 31, or verse 30, sorry, he loved Rachel more than Leah. So it's comparing love, and the greater is described as love, and the one that he had that love for the lesser, in the Hebrew idiom, the Hebrew figure of speech, is described as hatred. And as I mentioned to you, that's the case right throughout the scriptures. Let me show you some other places. If you turn to the book of Proverbs for a moment, the 13th chapter, and the words of verse 24. Solomon here is dealing with the disciplining of children. One of those verses that's not so common, that people don't really like to hear about so much today. So it's Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So you'll see the two words used again. Hateth and loveth. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But it doesn't mean hatred in the sinful sense. Remember, this is a father disciplining his child, or the lack of it as far as the first part of the verse is concerned. The meaning is that if he doesn't use the rod, doesn't discipline, he loves that son less. He doesn't love the son as much as he should. Remember that disciplining a child for their bad behaviour is an indication of a love, just as the Lord chastening us is an indication of his love towards us. So the fact that he doesn't chasten the child indicates he doesn't love that child as much as he should, perhaps as much as he loves some others, even maybe some others of his children. Come into the New Testament, you'll see the same is so. We're in Matthew's Gospel, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and the words of the 24th verse. Matthew 6 and 24. It's talking here about the servant and the master. Matthew 6 and 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So that day again, brethren and sisters, the consistent teaching of the scriptures, taking the truth, the idea consistently through the Bible, the idea behind the figure of speech is he will love one of the masters more. It's not the sinful hatred that's been spoken of. He will love one master more than the other. But there's one in the family context again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. This is dealing with the parents. Words again that you'll be familiar with. So Luke 14 and the words of verse 26. 14th chapter of Luke, the 26th verse. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Isn't that interesting? Notice what he's saying. And hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life. Now, ponder those words, and do they really mean that the Lord is teaching that you should hate your mother and your father, that you should hate your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters, in the sinful sense of hatred? Is that really what those verses mean? The Bible commands that we're to love our parents, we're to love our wives and our husbands, and love our children, and so on. So remember, in the light of Genesis 29, the light of the consistent application of those words and the meaning of those words through the scriptures, and I trust it will help you as you read passages like this in the future. The idea is that you're to love them less than God. You're to love your parents, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters, even your very life. You're to love all of those things less than the Lord himself. He's to have first place. The idea is that you're to love God more. May the Lord write that on our hearts tonight. Sometimes we get that wrong, the priority wrong. We're to love God more than even our mother and father, our dear parents, our wives, husbands, children, the other members of our family. In fact, it's teaching that the love for God that you have, you should love God so much that our love for others should be like hatred in comparison to it. Our love for him should be so strong. So I want you to see then that the idea of those words is that we're to love others less. God loved Esau less than Jacob. And that's the meaning That's what those verses are saying through the scriptures. And that's what it's saying there as well in Luke 14, verse 26. Can I give you a proof of that, a verse that proves that conclusively? It's in Matthew's Gospel, again, chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And it's the words of the 37th verse. Matthew 10 and 37. It says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." It's really the same verse. It's really the same message. The same teaching of the scriptures, only it's put the other way, brethren and sisters. In Luke 14, the Lord said, "If any man come on and hate not his father and mother." But there in Matthew 10:37, it says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Remember the importance of comparing scripture with scripture. So this is the divine commentary. These words here in Matthew 10 and 37. The divine commentary, particularly on Luke 14 and verse 26. You compare the two and put the two together. And the challenge, brethren and sisters, is that as his people we're to love God more than anyone else. Remember that the closest relationships, the dearest relatives on earth are mentioned in those verses. So the challenge of God to our hearts tonight is that we're to love God more than anyone else. We must love everyone else less, much less than him. And that's a struggle sometimes that all of us have in our heart. So the word hate, then, as it's used in our text tonight, as it's used in the book of Romans chapter 9, and other similar passages, it means to love less. There certainly are places where the Lord deals with hatred in the scriptures. But I want to distinguish for you the meaning as the word is used in verses and passages such as this. It means to love less. What does it mean that God hated Esau? Well, it means he loved him less. He loved Jacob more. He loved Jacob much more, because he loved Jacob savingly, redemptively. Jacob was the one of the twins that experienced God's salvation, that knew God's saving grace in his life. Remember, there's a sense in which God loves all his creatures, but he loves some more than others. And God loved you, and he loved me. We should never lose sight of the wonder of that. There's that great gospel hymn, "Oh, the wonder of it all." Just to think that God loved me. There's some that God loves more. He loved you unto salvation. And remember that God loving you unto salvation is the greatest way that God can love you, the greatest way that is possible for God to love you. And remember what we were saying on Sunday night about grace, God giving us what we did not deserve. Well, God loves you not because you're any better, not because of your works or your merit or your efforts. That's really what he's saying there in verse 11 of Romans. For the children, that's talking about the twins, Esau and Jacob, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So God set his love upon you, not because you're any better. Never think that. Never ever let that thought enter your mind. It wasn't because you were any better, not because of anything good that God saw in you. It was only in men and women because of his grace and because of his own good pleasure. So as you think of these words tonight, Esau have I loved, or sorry, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. When you think of God's love for you, that God loved you more, God loved you savingly, I want you to think tonight of the greatness of that love. The greatness of his love towards you. And the result of that, men and women, as we ponder it, as we consider it, if we really take it to heart tonight, there's two things that should do. One is to humble you. Humble you before the Lord. Just to think that God loved you. Passed over others as far as his saving love was concerned. But he loved you unto salvation. That should humble our hearts tonight. And it's a great cause for praise. So we'll come to the prayer meeting. We want to praise the Lord. We want to thank him. Rejoice in all his goodness to us. So I encourage you to take time tonight just to thank, to worship, to give the Lord the praise and the adoration of your heart for loving you, saving your soul from a lost eternity. So think of those words then. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So that's a little just of God hating Esau. What that statement, that little phrase in Romans 9:13 actually means. So I pray a little bit of help and challenge even to your hearts tonight. We're going to sing some verses of Robert Murray McShane's lovely hymn. 380, please. When this passing world is done.